Welcome back, my friends, to The Silent War with your host, Dustin Nemos of NemosNewsNetwork.com, where we continue with your help to break the cycle of fake news. I'm joined by my friend Curtis Stolm, the urban farmer, and we're trying to figure out where we are in the state of the world. He's more optimistic than I am. I am admittedly a little paranoid with the mRNA. So welcome back to the program, Curtis.
Thanks, buddy. Happy to be here.
So first, how are you doing and how's Canada?
Great. Well, Canada, you know, I have as much to do with Canada as I do with any other corporation. You know, it's not even really the geographical area that I'm in technically, because under the Interpretations Act of Canada, Canada only exists on the waterways. So I'm in the mountains. So as far as what the latest dipshit politician is saying, it makes no difference to me, but we're doing great. And you know what? You know, it's kind of like we kind of go back and forth with texts every now and then and all this. And I think so much of what perspective has to do with is where you are. And I'm sitting very pretty. Like, I'm as pretty much as off grid as you can get. You know, I always improving it. We grow our own food. We have all of our power is off grid. We're sitting on thousands of liters of stored fuel. We've got stored seeds. You know, we're ready. You know, we're ready for the lights to go out, and they won't go out for us. So I'm optimistic about a lot of things. And I'm not, yeah, going back to where I'm at, it's like we're sitting in a really great place. So keep that in mind with all this. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at these days. We're on a mountain. We're totally off grid. We've been working on this project for 2 years. And it's going great.
I'm trying to get there myself. I'm kind of on 10 acres in Florida in the woods, and I've got a dairy cow and a bunch of animals, and I'm starting a garden. So if you have any cheat type tricks for Floridians, but basically, you know, I want to get your take on the kind of current events. What I'm hearing politically is that the medical establishment and the government is basically sort of pressuring doctors to start to classify non-vaxxers as medically mentally ill or incapacitated or something, and then also encourage them to euthanize the mentally ill at the same time. And if I'm not mistaken, there has been some euthanasia already in terms of people opting for that rather than to continue suffering, but maybe it hasn't been forced yet, but it's being promoted
in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, let's I think that's happening. I mean, let's just assume that it's as worse as you think it is. Let's assume it's as worse as like whatever the latest propaganda about any of this says. It's like, okay, it's really terrifying. It's really bad. The thing you got to keep in mind with Canada, that's why Canada is partly a great place to live, is that our government is kind of like fascism in pink with a rainbow swastika. Like, our government are a bunch of pussies, to just put it completely frank. Okay. Like, we're not like Americans. America has a serious culture of fighting, because so much of your history was civil war and all kinds of, you know, and the U.S. military industrial complex, all the propaganda and Hollywood, all that stuff.
Yeah, we have a big federal government.
What you're saying is totally true. It doesn't matter, because Canada not only has a tiny military compared to the U.S., like it's like a fraction of your military, but we don't have a culture of violence in the same way that the U.S. does. So are there going to be some great roundups in Canada? I just don't see where that would be referenced as a possibility. Like, I know more farmers in the United States than I do anywhere else in the world that have had their farms raided by, you know, call it? What is it? The DEA or what is it? The FDA with machine guns, you know, like that kind of stuff doesn't happen in Canada. It just doesn't. And it's not to say that there aren't instances of that, but it just doesn't in general. Like, Canada is very, very soft handed. And the thing that's kind of cool about where we live as well, as far as the geography, the politics, and even the law, is that we have a very small population per geographical area. Like, geographically, we're as big as the United States, maybe even a bit bigger. But we have like a tenth or a, what is it? A hundred, no, a tenth of the population. The US has approximately 300 million. Canada has 30 million. And about 80% of those are on the Eastern seaboard, just like in the US. So, you know, if it's all bad, okay, maybe, but the government just doesn't round people up here and they don't have a history of it. So,
what about soft kill methods like the vaccine and stuff? How are the mandates?
Well, that for sure, for sure. But that's for the idiots, right? Like, yeah. There's no question about it. The vaccine is going to kill. Hell no. There never was. There never was. The thing that was amazing about all the scamdemic nonsense was, and I could see this for myself because I'm somebody who, you know, people know me as the urban farmer. Now I'm off grid doing this little different thing. People know me for that. But I've been in the truth sort of and law space for a very long time. And I've learned about how the law works because I've been able to get remedy for a lot of things. And there's just, when everybody was saying during the scamdemic, Canada's locked down, people can't leave, it was a complete lie. You were able to cross the border into the US is just as easy as you are now. It was getting back, which when they grinded you a little bit, but anybody who knew anything about the law walked right in because the health act is not subject to the Customs Act. So customs brokers had the health authorities had no jurisdiction when it came to customs and getting back into the country. So everybody was able to just call them on that and just walk right back in. Like, there's so much fear about all this stuff. And I get why there is, but it really has to do with fear immobilizing people because it does immobilize people to a huge extent. And it's always been used to motivate people one way or the other. But I would make the case to you that fear of the nuclear apocalypse is more valuable than the nuclear apocalypse.
Sure.
Fear of the zombie apocalypse is more valuable than the zombie apocalypse. Because when the establishment, if the establishment wants to just like rain holy terror on the world and destroy everything, they have a massive risk of losing control.
Well, what
and
about?
If you look at how much effort goes into the propaganda, they certainly don't want to lose control, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I question the one thing, though, about we're in the sort of middle of this soft Holocaust with the vaccines. Yes. And now they're doing the mRNA in the public food supply with the meat. And they're probably not going to label that. So they're sort of taking choice out of it for a lot of people.
Yeah, but we haven't seen that for sure yet. I'm with you on the shots. There's no question that that's a poison death shot. Like, no question in my mind. And we are witnessing perhaps the greatest Holocaust or democide. It's really a suicide though, because people are choosing to take that shot. Like in the Western world, I haven't seen any serious cases of people being forced to take an injection, except there was some videos that went viral during the whole thing of some handicapped people, mentally retarded people that were forced injected and stuff. But I haven't seen anybody that's been force injected in Canada. And, you know, so much of these days, I try to just go on what I can actually see with my own eyes, because the propaganda is so prevalent and is such a massive nonstop machine gun assault that, like, you just have to go with what you can see and hear yourself and do, because, like, there's just so much shit out there.
Okay, so I did one thing that you might, okay, this one might rock you. I don't know. I don't know if you've heard of this one yet. I did a report a couple months back. I'd have to look it up, but I was seeing a lot of videos surface on social media at the time that were, you know, cell phone stuff from people, landowners saying that the federal Canadian government were trespassing on their land and poisoning their waterways. And they caught them on video, you know, with some soldiers out there in boats, dumping things in the water. What do you, have you heard anything on that?
No, I haven't. But the thing is, with anything, with all videos, it's all like there's often very little context given. And there's no question that the department, you guys have all the same thing. All the departments that exist in Canada exist in the US. They're just called something different. Here they're called ministries. For you guys, they're called like Department of. But here we have Ministry of Forests, we have Ministry of Fisheries. And yeah, they do that shit. I knew a guy who worked in the Ministry of Fisheries, and he was quite high up, and they poisoned lakes and poisoned rivers all the time. They do it as they've been doing it forever to manage invasive species and stuff. And they'll give you a real good elevator pitch on why it's important for them to do it. I, of course, don't agree with it and think it's fucking insane, but you got to keep that in mind too. Just because there's a video out there of somebody saying, look, they're poisoning my water. It's like, this guy could be filming a video of the Ministry of Fisheries poisoning a lake that's not even on his property. Or it could be technically, because there's easements and things like this. And it always comes down to the devil's in the details. And like, I just don't get rattled about anything anymore, because I know the main agenda of the New World Order is to keep you chasing your tail.
Sure.
They want you wagging the dog. So I've seen so much propaganda, mostly from the mainstream media, but I've also seen a shitload of propaganda in our circles, in the truther circles. Like,
amen.
The Q stuff, so much of it went so fucking, yeah, like, right. Am I allowed to swear in this? I'm sorry if I am, but
yeah, go for it. I mean, it's a mature audience. I mean, people will be fine.
Okay. It's just people went full retard.
They did. I agree. Because, yeah.
And I get it, because that was crazy. What happened the last 2 years was crazy. Right?
It's really morphed for those that crowd has really morphed. I've exposed a number of them, but there are a number of there's at least four or five pedophiles in that network co-promoting each other. And it got really dark when you look into some of this stuff. And they were, playing off General Flynn's name. Some of them were calling for bomb threats and stuff. I mean, it got crazy. And then they were setting people up for these January 6th style events on March 4th and using videos from a year ago to say that President Trump was back in the White House and stuff. I mean, it's insane the kind of stuff they were coming out with. It's way beyond JFK.
They want to instigate it. Yeah. But I guess for me, so like, you know, a bit more context from where I've been a truther for a long time. Like, I've been into this shit for a long time. I'm 43. Yeah. I got into this stuff when I was 20. Like, my dad red-pilled me about the Federal Reserve when I was 20 years old. And I was on a sort of a truth-seeking journey for many years. When I first got into this stuff, the internet wasn't as nearly what it is today, right? So it was harder to find information back then. It was like people were sharing DVDs and books and going to information you could get. But I have a broad context or sort of view on it, because I've been down the proverbial rabbit hole for so long, and I grew up with my dad telling me the shit was going to hit the fan tomorrow. And so like, I've seen so many of these, oh, this is going to happen on this time and this is going to happen on this time. And I see on both sides that there is so much fear, and fear does a couple of things. Mostly, it disables people. It shocks you like a deer in headlights, first of all. But then it also can motivate you to do one thing or the other. And then another, it can be used as a political tool to cause instability. So I think you and I would probably agree to the T on the big picture of the New World Order and the Milner Group and all these groups, these high up groups that are moving culture and the economy and politics in one direction that we can all see. It's basically a downward spiral, right? Sure. It's craziness, right? But I've noticed in my own life, by researching the law and starting to write letters and starting to interact with the sort of amorphous matrix, that remedy exists and there is law. And so I've been able to figure a lot of things out, but the thing that I've figured out that's the most sort of underwhelming in a way is that the matrix, as we see it, which is this, call it, it's this massive apparatus. It's government, it's big media, it's big corporations, it's, you know, big families and all this that are controlling the narrative to what we mostly get presented through the mainstream media and just common society. I call that the matrix. The reality of finding your way through the matrix just isn't as sexy as the movies. So it's not literally like the Matrix in the movie, The Matrix, where Neo, or it's a big computer simulation. I don't believe that. I believe there's a spiritual element to it. Yeah, that's right. I don't think it's as sexy. And so when I tell people, like, look, man, I'm living up in this country that you think is so fascist and whatever, but I have had zero limitations on anything that I've done. the last 2 years, and I've become more free as a result of just taking proactive steps to set myself up to be free. Because I think you can be free in most places, especially in the Western world. But the thing about the Matrix is that there's a lot of aspects to it. You know, like there's government. Okay. That's like the administrative apparatus of the system, of the state. There's politics, which is all the pundits and all these politicians that are virtue signaling and arguing with each other and doing whatever. And then there's the law. And the law is actually not the same as politics, and it's not the same as government. But for some reason, there is remedy in the law. And once you understand that, you can start to navigate the system to better suit your life. And so it's why I think, you know, particularly for us in the United States and Canada, we're essentially the same place. Like Canada is a corporation that's registered on Pennsylvania Avenue. It's at the Canadian Embassy. It's in Washington, D.C. That's where Canada exists. Where we are up here is in this what a bunch of social justice warriors call unceded land or territory, which is actually true. And once you understand some of these things, you don't live with the same level of impedance that the system or the Matrix would put on you. And so at the same time, I'm not trying to hold on to a metropolitan lifestyle, right? I'm not trying to hold on to, well, how come these institutions are no longer like this? I'm tired of seeing drag queen pedophile hour at the library, whatever it is. I've proactively removed myself as best as I can from it because I see where it's going.
Sure.
And we found a way to be free by taking control of the things that we need in our lives and also just being proactive. And it, the world doesn't look so bad when you get into that position. So for me, like I hear all the fear and I get it, but I just don't see any utility in it for me because it doesn't bring me to a better place.
You know, I see that. It sounds really nice. And I almost want to move to Canada now. You might be sold. Here I'm worried about January 6th style persecution where they sort of ignore the law and go after their political enemies and witch hunts. And we see.
Well, I can tell you why you shouldn't.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I would like to tell you why I wouldn't be afraid of that. And the only thing I would be afraid about if I were you in your situation is the zombified masses. I wouldn't be worried about the state at all. The way I see my sort of big picture on things is that Babylon is burning. Okay. It's basically the Tower of Babel is collapsing. All the prophecies are in a way coming true.
Yeah, actually.
And so because of that, if Babylon is burning, why run into Babylon to tell everybody that it's burning? Right.
Well,
just leave.
I worry about people.
You know, why worry about your family? Worry about your community. Who cares about the average idiot Joe who's going to, like, let's face it, like this Great Reset, all this thing they're trying to pull off, it's probably going to happen to some degree, but is it necessarily a bad thing that American culture takes a nosedive? Like, would you to the death defend American culture? I know you could, you'd defend some parts of it, like the good parts of Americana, the idea of freedom, the original inception of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all these things. These are all great things, but look at what American culture has become. It's like, I was watching monster truck races with my son the other day and we were just getting so into it. And I'm just sitting there going, man, Americana is fucking amazing. Like, I love this shit. Monster trucks, like all this, like freedom and all the things that we can do is all great. But then the camera in the video I'm watching shows about 90% of the people in the audience are morbidly obese. It's just like, look at what Americana has become. Like, look at Hollywood and just the demoralization. And it's like, we in a way need a reset of our values. And I think the fact that the New World Order is trying to push us into this great reset for them, which is just going to be a big shuffling of the deck, and they're going to seize people's property and seize all kinds of things. But for those of us who know what we're doing, I'm not worried about it at all. But people are going to get hosed, and mostly they're going to get hosed on their equity. Like, they're going to crash the market because they can do that. They just turn a dial, right? Just turn the interest rate dial and crash the market. So there's going to be a lot of bad things happening. But for me, if I were you, I would just get out of the densely populated areas. I think for most people who are awake and don't want to get caught up in the January 6th thing, just go west. Don't go to California, but just go west. Look at it. Look at the North American map. It's completely red. When you look at a population map of North America, it's dense red on the eastern seaboard, and it's like spread out with red dots on a white backdrop on the western seaboard. The government, this January 6th thing and all this stuff, this is for people that are running into Babylon to tell people that Babylon's burning. That's January 6th.
Well,
why, like all these idiots running into the Capitol? Why? The election was stolen. That's clear as day, right? But did it even matter anyways? Because like, has the system not been rigged like forever, like since 9/11, right, when a lot of us probably woke up? Don't run into the Capitol. Get yourself set up.
But
form new communities.
But hasn't there been this great awakening of people finally sort of starting their path of, I mean, you and I have both been at this since we were in our early years, but people are just starting their path now. They're just figuring out some of this stuff. Many of them just from the vaccine, which is pretty recent.
Yes.
Isn't there some value to that that's worth sort of trying to guide?
Well, and that's for them to find out. I mean, for me, I resonate so much with where you're coming from, because I've been there too. And I'm not trying to say that I got it all figured out and you don't. But I just, everybody's on their own path. And so I think
that was an obvious trap. Well, but, I warn people about it.
It is. But the other trap too is trying to wake people up too much, because then you spend too much time on them and not on yourself. Like, it pulls you away from your family. And I've been guilty of this almost my entire life. Like, so I'm not trying to come at this from some self-righteous, like holier than thou position.
I feel that
I'm guilty of it. Most of us. Yeah. And it's just like, but at the same time, your actions will guide more people in a valuable sense anyways. So it's like trying to argue with some social justice warrior at drag queen pedophile hour about how their whole worldview is fucked is so pointless. Because if you focus on the here and now and just making the most of everything that's available to you now, you can fulfill so many of life's objectives at the same time as also waking people up. It's just when you go and trying to shake people, like, you know, like a guy like Alex Stein, you know, I love, he's hilarious.
Yeah,
he goes into these things. I still get a kick out of all this stuff, and I still don't mind watching the show, but I just, none of it rattles me anymore, because I know that ultimately the New World Order wants you in fear. They don't really care if you're in fear of the latest corona strain that they claim, or you're in fear of Klaus Schwab making you eat the bugs. It doesn't matter. The fear has the same utility, because look what it does. It mobilizes people in one way or the other. And all these people that bought into this Trump thing are, I think, maybe waking up from this now, because there's no remedy in politics. There's remedy in law. Absolutely. But there's no remedy in politics. Politics is just the cultural arm of it, and it's on a downward spiral.
Let's take it away. You mentioned prophecies earlier, so I'm intrigued by that. Let's drop, if you don't mind, talking about politics, and let's go into that. I've dove deep into this in the last couple of years since I actually found out God was real, and mm-hmm. I've really dove deep into the prophecies and stuff. I was a lifelong anti-theist. I mean, at an early age, I was raised in public school. I was basically taught that religion was the source of all evil. And
me too.
I was a pretty fluent debater against religious people, especially Christians. Mm-hmm. Debate yep, most of my life. Now I'm what I call a scientific fundamentalist Christian Yeshuite. But mm-hmm. essentially, I've been tracking the prophecies, and I think that about 20 or more of them are happening, or have happened recently, or are clearly happening and forming up.
Hmm. Well, the way I look at it is I see the Bible as the word of God. So I'm not a Christian. However, like, and I'm just like you, I grew up as a staunch atheist. Like, I was very quick-witted liberal that would debate any Christian about religion. And I used to really take pride in that. But the thing that I've found, well, that I found in my kind of arc towards a higher belief in spirituality, is I just found all these logical inconsistencies with atheists and liberals in particular.
Yeah.
And I often find atheists are the most religious people in the room, because atheists always have this complete belief in the state. Yeah. And they have this blind belief in this thing called the social contract, which, you know, you've heard every leftist, if you ever gotten an argument with them, something always ends up at the social contract. And it's like, they're all about the science and they're all about
the facts. No one signed.
And then they pull out this. Yeah. And then they pull out this amorphous thing called the social contract that doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah.
But the thing that I found is that in my pursuit with the law and finding remedy and trying to find freedom within the framework that's there, is that I've got it. For everything I've tried to pursue, I've figured it out, because I've discovered some things that are all based on the Bible. And part of the fundamental question is that I asked myself was, and it really bothered me for a lot of years, is why is there a Bible in every court? What's up with that? Like, there's a Bible in every court. What's up with that? I mean, really think about it. It's kind of weird
around the world, right? Is this big thing. Why do these religious people believe it? That's what I would think.
But in Western law, I've heard that they've removed them from France, and I haven't verified that myself, but in Western law, there's a Bible in every court. There's a reason for that. And I think it goes up to some really high spiritual stuff. My belief is that the deal that God has with the devil is that the word of God has to be present. It must be present. So the devil can lie to you and trick you and do all kinds of things, but the word of God has to be present. And that's my belief and why it's in the court. Somebody else might have a different belief of that. And I'd be open to having my mind changed. But I've seen that when you go back into principles and you go into things that came from the Bible, and the things that I'm really interested in are called equities, the maxims of equity that came out of Roman civil law that pretty much give you remedy for anything in the law. They all come from the Bible. And that's why there's a Bible in every court. And you can access remedy once you understand some principles. And I think it's very empowering, because then you're like, okay, well, these guys want to shake me down for this, that, and the other. But if I can apply some really simple principles and equity, not talking about social justice equity here, but you can apply equity, you can find a way out. And I really think it's kind of like, for me, it was my Neo in the Matrix moment, is that we can find a way through, because the way has to be presented. That's God's rule. It has to be there. And so we can find it. And so I'm not saying I have a solution for everybody, but I'm optimistic about things, and things that, like, from the Bible principally, because I know in the end God wins. I know that for certain. And I know that the word of God has to be present. And so it's always there. And so they can try to play tricks on you and get you to trick you to go one way or the other, or get you to act in one way or the other. And they do, they're doing that now nonstop, but the way out for us is all there. It's available to all of us. We just have to put in the work. And I think that's where I lose most people on this stuff. And that's why I'm not Curtis, the legal expert. I'm a guy who's been doing this stuff, and I'm happy to talk about it with some people, but I don't make a living going on YouTube talking about this stuff, because it does. Well, for one, it doesn't sell. And another, most people aren't actually ready for the truth. And that's another reason why I just don't care about red pilling the masses, is because when you really boil it down, most people aren't even ready to look at what you can show them.
They look away. I agree with you. I've lost faith in trying to politically solve this thing, and I've really dove deep more into the hidden history and the esoteric stuff. I actually found God, you might say, by finding the devil, in a sense, because I started to dive so deep into history and what the deep state believe, and their sort of esoteric Satanism, what we call Mystery Babylon today. I realized that what they believe is real. These things actually existed. The giant bones are all over the world being hidden, and there are these elongated skull things like the Star Child and stuff. So these things existed. And this is what they're worshiping. And they're, the Freemasons, for example, are going back to Nimrod as their founder, and they want to rebuild his Tower of Babel. That's basically their world goal, is to rebuild the one world order. So there's a lot.
Yeah,
of this.
Well, I think AI is that. That's what AI is. They want to, the Tower of Babel is going to be AI. But yeah, I'm with you, man. And yeah. But the thing is, that's cool about that stuff, is that they follow laws. Like everybody who's been down the rabbit hole about like the Luciferian agenda and stuff like that knows that they have to show you what they're doing, right? Like, wouldn't you agree?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that they're showing us what they're doing, or if it's that they're trying to brag about what they know to each other.
But wouldn't you agree? So look at the scamdemic. Look at the last 2 years. Everything that the truth about the mRNA, all that stuff, that was all known. Like we all knew that stuff, right? Like everybody in the truth community screaming at everybody else, saying, yeah, "You guys are going to take these shots. You're nuts. Look what they published."
Yeah.
So there's a Luciferian thing that they have to get you to walk yourself to the gulag. You have to inject yourself. You have to demoralize yourself. They get you to do it to yourself. How they escape justice.
I think it's that they want you to be complicit and guilty in the sin.
Yes, because then, and so what I'm trying to explain is that this actually connects to the maxims of equity in law. And there's a number of these maxims. Anybody can just Google the maxims of equity, and it's worth checking out, because what you'll find is that you look at these maxims of equity and you'll find that the elite follow all of them to a T. So for example, Bill Gates, okay, here's a cliche with where we're at today. Bill Gates is like one of the most invested guys in big pharma, right? Did he inject you with a needle?
No.
Did he make anybody get injected? He was hands off. I'm not to say that it's at somewhere, someplace, somebody might have forced a needle in somebody's arm. That's possible.
Yeah, with a lot of children died.
Yeah, and a lot of children in India and Africa have been getting killed by vaccines for a very long time. So I'm not saying that everybody on the side of the New World Order is innocent. The reality is everybody on the side of the New World Order is mostly compartmentalized except the very top people. So it's like that scene in that Batman movie with Heath Ledger when he played the Joker, and that scene at the beginning where he kills everybody on the bus. Do you know that scene?
Yeah, I remember.
So they do a big bank heist and there's like 20 guys involved, and every guy is told if there's less guys at the end, there's less money to split up. Yep. And so they all kill each other before the end. And then the Joker's the last man standing. Well, the devil, in my opinion, on the spiritual side of things, functions the same way. He'll sell anybody out. And everybody else has the same view. So Bill Gates, he is keeping his hands clean of doing any of the real dirty work. He gets other idiots to do it for him, and they'll be the ones that actually pay the consequence before him. Not saying he won't pay a consequence at some point, but these guys survive based on this. And one of those rule is called equity doesn't aid a volunteer. Well, there's a couple here. So one of them is equity doesn't aid a volunteer. And that means that if you volunteered and you did it, you carry the burden of responsibility, that you, it's on you. And so the elite do this. They get you to volunteer. They tell you to get the shot. A lot, like, was it like the guy from Pfizer didn't even have the shot and he's telling everybody to get it, right? Yeah. And another one is, he who seeks equity must do so with clean hands. And so that means if you want equity and fairness in the law, in the world you live in, you must also act fairly. And so these guys, they do everything through shell corporations and trusts. Like George Soros never went in and physically stole when he admitted in that 60 Minutes video of his, if you've seen it, where he brags about going and stealing Jewish people's homes in the Holocaust. And he's a Jew himself, and he had no moral hangups about it because he never actually did it. He had other people doing it for him. And so these guys do these things a certain way. And so a lot of that, there's correlation between equity and the Luciferian stuff. I'm more familiar with equity because I can actually read it. the Luciferian stuff you kind of piece together. You know, I've read the Satanic Bible. I've read Anton Sandelavé's Satanic Bible, and it's kind of just about serving yourself, really.
Selfish.
But the high, the evil stuff, the high up stuff, Satan, modern Satanism is just for the proletariat. The guys like, you know, Albert Pike and all these. Yeah. These guys, they know the real game, and these guys know there is a God. And so that's why they abide by rules so strictly, because they know that there will be a karmic justice to them if they don't. And so they always keep their hands clean.
They use child sacrifice and blood magic to contact these things, according to their writings, especially Crowley.
They do. And that's the one thing where you go, you know, yeah, what's going on there? But
would you like to see some of the crazy end time stuff that's maybe happening? Because you've got me on maxims of law, and I want you to be my lawyer. Yeah. I want to be your neighbor in Canada, actually. No, because Florida's getting so chemtrailed. Like, I don't even know.
Oh, dude, it's getting chemtrailed everywhere here. Dude, it's same here. It's hardcore here. We just got it. It's the first sunny day in a month. I haven't seen the sun in a month.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to share screen. I kind of love Florida for the sun. This is an article I did on a new website I've got called The Serapium, which is a sort of a hidden history, esoteric archive of pretty much everything scriptural and historical and scientific. But anyway, this article is just sort of a collection of notes, but a lot of people say you can't know the day and the hour, but it says you can't know both, but you can know one. So we can maybe know the day. With that aside, there's a lot of stuff that's maybe happening right now, like potentially the Euphrates River, the Revelations 12 woman in the stars happened a few years ago. The stars falling has actually potentially already happened. There were some massive meteor showers reported in recent history. There's some stuff in the Apocrypha that were taken out, like the Book of Enoch being rediscovered with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
The Book of Enoch is really cool.
Oh yeah, I love that book, man. That's what really connected it for me. I was an atheist researching the deep state's belief in demons, and then I found pre-flood history to be very helpful with that. And then the Book of Enoch was the best pre-flood historical book. And then holy cow, it all made sense. And then the scriptures check out, because I've tested it, and there's prophecies that came true all over the place. So, you know, I'm absolutely a believer now. So there's just so many things that are happening. Ezra, the stuff in Ezra, actually, you know, Second Esdras has an eagle head, a three-headed eagle prophecy. And that has me convinced that America is doomed. I mean, America, in some capacity, America falls right before
that. Dude, there's no question America's doomed. Yeah.
The third
that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
America's fucked. But that doesn't mean anything, though. Yeah, politically, exactly. So, like, I'm into all of this stuff, Dustin, but at the same time, I've also been into this stuff for a long time. For me, I just don't go on rabbit trails anymore. My whole thing has been, I find utility. So I always ask myself, what's the utility of the information? And so that's why I've gone down in the law road so much, because I found so much remedy in the law. And I'm just sitting here going, like, if everything's so bad and it's all so fucked, how is it that let me get away with it? How is it that hundreds of people I know have figured out solutions? And so I just focus on creating, because I feel like that's our God-given purpose in this realm of existence we're in, is to create. And I believe that the world as we know it is created by us collectively. So it's the collective will of everyone. And the New World Order, that's why they're so focused on stories, right? That's why you see Klaus Schwab sitting up at the World Economic Forum saying, we need a new narrative, right? Like they know more than anybody that the construction of the narrative is what's the utmost important. And that's why they always set up these gatekeepers and do these limited hangouts and stuff. They want you to go down the rabbit hole, but they don't want you to, they want to steer you away from little things, because like as you are figuring out, there's a lot of truth in all that. I guess the thing for me is I just go, where's utility now? Like, show me the money. Like, because
I have this, there's so much possibility. To like record it, I guess I have this obsession to build an archive and connect the dots and help people to make sense of it. I don't know. I just haven't, the last year I've been doing half of my work and then also half of my time on this archive, obsessively going through history. It's been sort of a passion project that's taken over my life, really.
Yeah. See, so I've been too busy preparing. I've been doing.
What you said makes a lot of sense, though, because, you know, we're pretty much in agreement on everything, but like, you're a creator. I've always felt like a protector in a sense. Like, I'm not much of a creator. I am gardening now. I'm better with animals. But
you're creating. Like, you've created this podcast. You've created a whole online presence, right?
Yeah. That is my way of getting to people. But I've always just felt like basically an alarm to warn people of what's happening.
Yeah. See, I guess I just don't care anymore, because the reason I don't care. Well, it's not that I don't care in an apathetic way. I care about people deeply. And I do try to help people that are closest to me. People I don't care. What's that?
I mean, I just mean it's easy to get a little cynical, not necessarily not compassionate, but maybe cynical on reaching people.
See, yes, it is. But that's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of abundance. And I also believe that people are on their life path, and I'm not afraid of death.
Sure.
And so, because it's just another part of the journey that we're on. And so if hundreds of millions of people took the shot and they die from the shot, well, then that was their choice and that was their path in life. So I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. And so, but I see, when I look at what we can do here, and when I'm with my family all day, we're on the homestead, we're living the dream in a lot of ways, working at it.
It's great.
When I focus my energy there, things happen and the world becomes a better place for us. And so, whereas like yelling out into the void and arguing with people on social media or whatever, and you know, all this back and forth, like I watch it even in the conservative movement, right? How much of these people are going at each other. Steven Crowder is saying this, and Daily Wire is saying that, and it's just like, wagging the dog, man. It's just wagging the dog. The system wants, the matrix wants you in chasing your tail,
right?
And so, like I said earlier, whatever they got to do to get you to chase your tail, they don't care. They just care that you're chasing your tail and not focusing on you, and not focusing on your family, right? And running around, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? That's what they want you to do. And so, and I'm not saying that there isn't truth in any of the thing that you might go down a rabbit hole for, because like I've said, I've done it for 23 years. Like, I guess I'm a bit of a veteran when it comes to the truther stuff, because like, I've like, even before my dad really red-pilled me, all my teenage years, I heard my dad saying the shit's going to hit the fan tomorrow. The real estate market's fucked. He was like everything. My dad was talking about the New World Order. My dad was talking about Henry Kissinger. Like, and I just,
that's so cool.
You know, I just don't, but the thing that's so funny about it, Dustin, is like, I wish my dad died. I think the hospital killed him. Actually, he died during the lockdowns and all that. Yeah. He had a stroke and then they just drugged him, and I don't want to get into it. I get really emotional about it, but I wish he was alive today for him to see the things that I figured out, because it would have just, his head would have exploded. I mean, I showed him before he died. I did show him how Canada was registered on the United States Securities and Exchange Commission as a company on Pennsylvania Avenue. I did show him that, and he couldn't believe it, because he was just like completely shaken. And in a way, I kind of saw that is what is proverbially happening to a lot of people. Like, a lot of people got red-pilled from the vaccine. But the thing is, like, as somebody who's been on a journey of truth for a long time, I can tell you that the red pill is the first step of a long journey. It doesn't end at the red pill. And so
there's the black pill and a few others.
And then there's the white pill, and I'm on the white pill now. And so, I'm
pioneering the term God pill now. I want people to start using that one.
Well, that's kind of where I think the white pill is.
Yeah.
Is that you find out, like, it seems all dark. You get into the sex trafficking stuff and all that. But the white pill for me came from the fact that there's remedy in law, like straight up. It's indisputable. There's remedy in law. Once you learn the basics, you don't need a lawyer. You don't need to you know, go to university for 20 years, 10 years. And so I'm just seeing all these problems that we've been able to solve. And it's like, well, maybe it's not all that bad, because yeah, there's all this stuff going on that's really bad, but maybe that's supposed to happen. Maybe, you know, that's part of our journey, you know?
A lot of people are saying that lawfare is effective. So I'm not disputing that at all. And
I'm not talking about lawfare though. I'm not talking about lawfare, Dustin. There's a big difference here. Similar. Lawfare is like what they did to Alex Jones. That's lawfare. That's when a big corporation has an endless budget to just wag your tail and just make, they can throw money at you and they can make you go to appeals and fight and fight and fight. That's lawfare. That's the, lawfare is the weaponization of the judicial system. Okay. I'm not talking about lawfare. I'm talking about going straight into equity, which supersedes all statute law, and figuring out how all this stuff that they throw at you is bullshit. That's why I wonder about the validity of the Alex Jones case. Cause it's like, I know he must know some of the stuff I do. He couldn't be into this space for this long and not have figured this, some of this stuff out. How is it they can drag him through court like that for as long as they did? If that would have came to me, it would have been over in a letter. I would have never even gone to court, because the whole thing is so ridiculous. It's not actually based in anything real, which that's what equity is. Equity is all about what's real, what's actually fair. And all law is built off that. So it's not lawfare. It's completely different.
It must
just to clear that up. I didn't want to derail you.
Yeah.
But just to clear that up.
Thanks. And it must've been, you know, it must've been cool as far as like mental imagery. I'm just imagining you and your dad, like talking conspiracy stuff. I never had that. I mean, I had, it was me alone on the internet for a long time, and it was a dark place.
Yeah.
And, now I'm sort of coming out of it, and I found out God's real, and there's sort of a hope for something after this new world order. But I've seen this thing coming since I was about 16, 17 years old. And I've been warning my grandparents. I lived with them at the time, and tried to save them from all the junk they were doing and spraying and eating. And eventually that morphed into what I'm doing today, is just still trying to warn people. And, I just feel like I'm barely ready myself, of course, because my garden just got nuked with a frost, even in North Florida. But
Wow. That's the crazy thing about those warm places. Like, on the straight. So yeah, again, I'm optimistic about all this stuff. At the same time, I've also taken radical steps to position myself, right? Like, I live on a mountain. I live in a place where there's like, the population density is so low that there's just nobody around. I have a driveway that is impassable for most people. Like I have food, water, energy, shelter. Like we're completely we're as self-sufficient as one could be, in the time we've been at it. I mean, of course our systems are going to get better as we go, but so like I've prepared, you know, I've done the work, but the thing that I found out in the work is that the work's also really enjoyable. It's really enjoyable to live on the land. I feel really connected to the creator. I really feel connected to nature and my children and my family and our food and the animals that we raise. And so there's an upside to both. So it's like, yes, I've prepared for the absolute shit to hit the fan, but I've also really enjoyed doing it in the process. And I would say to most people, there's like, it's not just like you're off grid and prepared as it's 0 to 1. Like, it's either you are there or you're not. It's kind of like 0 to 100. It's a whole scope of possibilities to get to a better end goal. But I would say for most people living in the United States, just getting off the Eastern seaboard will solve 80% of your problems if the proverbial shit hits the fan, because it doesn't matter. Like, law and all that's good. I can get remedy. I can use the law and all that. I'm not worried about them taking my property. I'm not worried about the CBDCs making it so that I can't interact in the system. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. It's that the brainwashed masses, when there's a starvation event type thing, that's the thing that is going to affect your life before anything else. Is if you're in a highly densely populated area, especially an area that doesn't have a winter like Florida, the zombie apocalypse lasts forever. And this is what I love about Canada and living in a cold climate, is that a cold climate's a reset. In many ways, it's really good for the soil. We have very little soil-borne pest diseases, problems like that. But also, if the proverbial shit hits the fan in wintertime, people aren't getting too far.
Yeah, right.
Because it's just too harsh. Like, and even when you think about mass migration and you think about all the politicization of migration, you know, they're dumping immigrants to invade this country. And so what you've seen all this, right? All this, whatever you call it, it's like forced migration, essentially.
The clergy plan.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And cold climates are going to be your friend for when that happens. Cause like, look at all these poor, desperate people that come out of it's the poorest countries are the warmest countries. Right.
Yeah.
And so, so all the people flooding out of the poorest, warmest countries, they're not running to they're not running to Canada in the wintertime.
You're right.
Right. They'll maybe go as far as the warmest parts of the United States and maybe a bit beyond that, but cold climates are really good for these kinds of things. And so as what I said at the beginning, so much of it's positioning. Like my perspective is based on my position as well.
Let me ask this then. How hard is it to migrate to Canada as a US citizen?
It's probably just as easy it is to migrate to the US. I mean,
you just have to walk in here.
Yeah, well, it's the same here, man. You can just walk in. Cool. The board, there's not even like.
Do you guys get a free hotel?
Oh, probably. No, you're white. You were brown, you would get a free hotel for sure. They did that. I actually got kicked out of a hotel. I was going to teach a workshop in rural area of Quebec a few years ago, and it was when all this crazy migration stuff was happening. It was right around the time that was it when Trump got elected or something? Anyways. I had a hotel booked and they kicked me out because they had to make room for migrants that were just walking across the border.
Wow. That is insane. Yeah. If the hotels wouldn't comply, it would be a different story. They would be,
but
yeah.
Yeah. It just, so much of it has to do with space. Like for me, like Canada is great because we look at the prime minister, right? He's a pencil neck. He's just a joke. Like he's a complete joke. He's going to the pride parade. He wants the photo ops. Like,
yeah,
it's a joke.
He seems like he's actually a forum puppet.
Oh, for sure he is. And his dad was too. His dad, yeah. Like the Trudeaus are they're an aristocracy. They're a Canadian aristocracy. And but at the same time, they're not that, they're a good metaphor for what the actual state apparatus of Canada actually looks like. It's not like the US. Like America is America, fuck yeah. Canada is like, hey, Canada, welcome to Canada. Like it's a pushover. And so it's a joke. And it's in our culture for better or worse. Like don't get me wrong. Overall, I like America better. I like Americana. I like the free, hardcore entrepreneurial spirit of America. I love that shit. I love the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. I'm all in on all of it. I just like, but at the same time, Canada is such a pushover that it's like, you can kind of do whatever you want up here within reason, you know, as long as you're not hurting people and causing a ruckus, you know, they're going to leave you alone for the most part.
Sure.
And that's a good thing with all this New World Order stuff, because you look at all the madness and you see what's going on. And then I look around here and I'm like, it's a joke. It's a joke. Like everybody's polite, you know, it's hilarious. So there's nothing really to be afraid of.
Yeah. Well, you've given me some hope and some thinking. I don't know. I kind of don't mind cold climates if it means freedom. I'll go anywhere for freedom, but you've given me a lot to think about. So I'm going to give you closing thoughts. My wife is going to be home soon. We have plans to go pick up some hay for our milk cow.
Nice.
Simple life.
Nice. Yeah, man.
I love it too. It's good to see the kids play in the field and run with the dogs. It's wonderful.
Oh, totally.
Leave us with your closing thoughts and any kind of websites, content, anything you'd like to share that's on your plate lately. And I appreciate you coming on, making the time. It's always a lot of fun to chat with you. I'm totally. A little bit less paranoid, although, you know, I like to joke, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not really out to get me.
Well, okay. Well, I appreciate that, Dustin. I'll leave with some closing thoughts. And one thing I would say to you is, I mean, you're the one I'm talking to, right? And so I would say, Klaus Schwab wants you to be paranoid. Klaus Schwab wants you to be fearful. Klaus Schwab wants you to be constantly in a state of reaction. So keep that in mind. Do you want to give Klaus Schwab what he wants or not? They don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to have enjoy your family. Right? They want you to do that. So again, like I said, any way that they get you to do that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're afraid of the Rona or you're afraid of whatever. Like it doesn't matter as long as you're afraid. So I would say that. Another thing I would add too is, like, I should have said this at the beginning, but you know, I'm talking about stuff that people don't follow me for typically. I mean, people do tune into my live streams. I riff on stuff like this every now and then, but I have no dog in the fight, in the sense that the way I make a living today is I teach people about farming. And so my whole platform, it's called freedomfarmers.com. And we have a membership site called fromthefield.tv as well. We teach people through courses on how to do regenerative agriculture. And that's our whole business model. And so I don't have a dog in the fight to convince people one way or the other, the way things are going. Take it for what it's worth. But I'm extraordinarily optimistic, because I just see, as it's sort of like the Masonic thing of as above, so below. At the same time that there is a massive downward spiral, cultural downward spiral, economic downward spiral, supply chain, political, everything. There's this massive downward spiral, Babylon burning. On the inverse of that, so as above, so, or as below, so above, there is a great awakening that you're aware of, and there is a transcendence of the matrix, and that people are waking up to it. And so there's infinite possibility on one side, and then there's infinite, you know, purgatory or hell on the other side. This heaven and hell will exist simultaneously. And so it's everybody's choice to decide which way to go. And I, the way I see it is, if we're all going to end up, let's just say we're all going to end up in gulags, just assume, okay, we're all going to end up in gulags, I'd still rather have a really good time all the way till the end. I don't see any benefit of getting all hung up on gloom and doom if you're going to end up in the gulag anyways. I'd rather be in that gulag and just be sitting there going, you know what? We had a really great life up until this point. But I don't believe there's a gulag. But I'm just saying that even if there is, logically, I think people should make the case to themselves that it's better to just have a positive overall look on everything. Yeah. And it changes the way you act. It changes your whole world. Once you start acting in a positive way and believing it and just always looking for love and light, is that your whole world just changes. And so for me, it's been that. And, you know, during the whole 2 years of lockdowns and all the craziness, we had a completely unrestricted life. We didn't buy any of the fear. We weren't wearing masks. We didn't go along with any of it. And we're still doing the same thing. In fact, the so-called pandemic motivated us even more to get where we are today. And I think we're in a long run. I think all this stuff is, we've got a long ways to go. It's, some people think, oh, it's 2030. We're going to be living in gulags in 2030. I don't believe that. I think a lot of people will be living in gulags, but everything as we go to this, through this inverse of infinite possibilities and infinite turmoil and hell, is that it can go either way. And you just have to focus on getting to the good side of things, and it's never too late to turn around, and all things will happen at once. So there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be in that metaverse, you know, getting injected with everything, going to drag queen pedophile hour, absolute insanity, and that's going to be available for them. But well, the way out to the other side is also available for all of us. So it's our choice.
I only want to mention a caveat that I think a good case can be made that in Brazil and the US, we have gulags in order right now.
There's the FEMA camps and all that stuff, right? Like there is that.
But Gen 6, I mean, there's quite a few people that have been imprisoned wrongfully.
I know, but look what they, but look what they did. They marched into Babylon when Babylon was burning. Why?
Yeah, but they
why do you need to go and tell people that Babylon's burning?
They were able to set them up in a way that they were able to deny them their rights, though. And I think that it's easy for them to do that in any other case through some other deception. I think that's the precedent we have to worry about.
I don't think so. I think you have to be specific. I think you have to be very specific. And in that specific case, absolutely. But don't just say that that's going to apply to everything else, because you need the evidence. Like, I'm all about just like, look at the facts, look at history, look at what we know happened. And like, it's really this simple. Don't run into Babylon when Babylon's burning. Like, if you want to get out of the way of the new world order, because like I said earlier on, I know God wins. So I know we're going to get through this. You just have to get away, because for the most part, or just get out of the way, because for the most part, it's going to be the zombie hordes that are going to be your adversary, not the deep state. Yeah. But if you go and blab around where Hillary Clinton buried all the bodies, yeah, the deep state will probably come after you. But so just, you know, yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's like, what's the point? Their evil has always existed. It's always existed, and it's going to continue to exist for a very long time. And it's going to become more and more prevalent as this whole thing bubbles up. At the same time, the more of us that want to live in love and exit that can, but it's so tempting to go back to Babylon, because that's where everything, you know, is. Everything you thought you knew is in Babylon. And that's why all these truthers are every day whining about it. But it's like, dude, Babylon's burning. Just get out. Just leave.
Well put.
It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Curtis. As always, a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Anytime, man.
Everyone check out his content. Learn how to farm before they cut the food supply or mRNA, everything. And again, share this, like someone might need to hear it.